the AM and FM 107 Radio Network, broadcasting from AM and FM stations around the country. Welcome to the Small Business Administration award-winning School for Startups Radio, where we talk all things small business and entrepreneurship. Now, here is your host, the guy that believes anyone can be a successful entrepreneur because entrepreneurship is not about creativity, risk, or passion, Jim Beach.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another exciting edition of School for Startups Radio. I hope you're having a great day out there, taking over the world, having some fun, making $1 million, and just becoming a better, more fun person, happier. Got a great show for you today. Two challenging guests with some challenging thesi. Is that the way you say multiple theses? First up, can we live forever? Do we want to live forever? And how good can we look while we do it? First up today, we have Dr. Will Haas, and we will talk about cellular medicine and all of, he has a clinic where you go in and walk out beautifuler and feeling better and a whole lot of different, very advanced programs. So I can't wait to talk to Dr. Haas about that. And just, you know, the whole conversation, are we going to have, descendants that do live forever, like, well, our kids, you know, the ones that are 10 now, how long are they going to live? And then can you want something so badly that it happens? Is that manifesting? We will talk with Patricia Stepler about it. She has a great story about her son and manifesting and what ended up happening from that. So I think about with one of the things about manifesting is you're supposed to put your feelings out there for the world to know. I want to spend a month on a super yacht. Okay. I'm just letting the world know. Oh, it's important time to pitch. I need you to go buy my book, please. The Real Environmentalist. I've been talking about it. It is out. It is selling very well and getting good reviews, some great reviews. Will you please support it? We don't ask very much of you for all this free entertainment and education here. In return, could you go get the book, get the Kindle for $5, and all you've spent for all of this great education is $5, and then write a review, and then you'll be my best friend. It's been an experience. I have had some interesting kickback. Some of the environmentalists don't like our message. The message is that capitalism will save the world and the environment. A little bit provocative, but that's the way we designed it. I hope if you're listening to this show, you believe in capitalism and buy into the idea that, you know, we entrepreneurs could be saving the world. I introduce 5 heroes in the book that are doing just that. Go get a copy, please. All right, we'll be back for the show in just a second.
On climate change? Introducing The Real Environmentalists, the bold new book by Jim Beach. It's not about activists, politicians, or professors. It's about the entrepreneurs, real risk takers, building cleaner, smarter solutions, not for applause, but for profit. The entrepreneurs in the book aren't giving speeches. They're in labs, factories, and offices, cleaning the past and building clean products for the future. The Real Environmentalists is available now because the people saving the planet aren't the ones you think. Go to Amazon and search for Real Environmentalist. Thank you.
We are back, and again, thank you so very much for being with us. You know, if you read the media, you hear about all of these billionaires who are hoping to live forever with all of these body enhancements, and well, be interesting to see if that works out. But what if you just want some improvement in your life? And we will talk about that with our next guest. Please welcome Dr. William Haas, MD and MBA. He is the founder and CEO of a company called Vive Wellness. That's V-Y-V-E Wellness. It is a wellness clinic that specializes in longevity and optimizing your cellular health. He is a board certified family medicine doctor and has trained in that field. Dr. Haas, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Very good. Happy to be here. Excited to talk about optimizing health and extending longevity.
So are we really hoping to live longer?
Glad you led with that question. So we actually, the focus, I think, really should be more on what we call health span and less on longevity. And I think longevity medicine or longevity is some of the current buzzword, if you will. But I think what we're all after is really just ensuring that the years that we have left are as healthy as possible and able to enjoy the years that we have. And if we can extend those and extend the quality of those, fantastic. But I think it really comes down to health span and not necessarily like, can I live to be 120?
All right, so we just want to live to be 90, but have those better years.
Absolutely. You continue to enjoy those passions and hobbies during that time and not just kind of be sitting in you know, a long-term care facility or a nursing home, you know, kind of not really able to fully enjoy the last bit of that life, or, you know, sitting there counting out 20 medications and your life is surrounded by the next doctor's visit.
Yes, I can relate to that. Already been to the doctor once today. So what are the methods to make that happen? What kind of treatments are you using?
Yes, to me, it's really less about the treatments, and it's more about the foundations of optimizing cellular health. And sometimes that obviously is going to involve some really cool technology and treatments and some of these kind of futuristic things that you hear about that you kind of let in with on this conversation. But the foundation is cellular health. And what I mean by cellular health, it's really things like mitochondrial health, things like the cells that produce ATP or energy, or metabolism, how your body is managing blood sugar, and then how your body helps like detoxify and clear toxins out of the body. How do you manage and mitigate inflammation? How do you help encourage cells to heal and repair themselves naturally and ensure none of those cellular processes get too far off track? Because the further and further they go off track, that is where we head down the road of chronic disease and then conventional prescription medications that have their own side effects. So, happy to talk about some of those tools, but I do want to make sure that we kind of make the focus on optimizing cellular health and enhancing what our bodies naturally do and its own innate healing capacity.
Is this becoming a whole specialty of medicine now? Like, is this your entire specialty now, I guess?
Yes, I mean, I was technically board certified in integrative medicine alongside family medicine. And I think you're seeing some new pockets and roots, right? So you have functional medicine, integrative medicine, this kind of longevity, which I feel like underneath that is this cellular medicine. So, and I think one thing that has spurred that field is peptide therapy, right? You did ask about one of the tools. One of the tools I use a lot will be peptides. And peptides come in all
shapes, I don't know what that is. What is a peptide? Sounds like a
cleaner. Yeah. and in the essence, it's really just a string of amino acids that regulate different cellular pathways, right? And so if we bring that back down to something that most people can relate with, the very first peptide we ever kind of synthetically created from our own bodies is insulin. That's a peptide, right? I mean, people are familiar with collagen peptides. And of course, the big thing right now in the media is GLP-1. Peptides, glucagon-like one peptides, the Wegovy, Ozempic. Exactly. Those are an example of a peptide, and there's all sorts of different peptides that regulate different cellular pathways, be it metabolism, be it inflammation, be it circadian rhythms. That's kind of what peptide therapy boils down to, and I think that's what's driving this new interest in the field of cellular medicine, which has a direct correlation of tapping into the body's innate healing response to what I was talking about earlier.
Okay, so what are some of the treatments? I'm on your website, and I see people doing all sorts of weird things. Like, there's this big machine that they get into that looks like it's a tanning machine with all of these red dots on it. What are some of those tools?
That'd be some infrared light. Infrared light therapy. So infrared light will mix that along things like hyperbaric oxygen and cryotherapy and lasers and IV therapies, to kind of name a few. And each one kind of have their own purpose. IV infrared light therapy, we use it a lot to activate mitochondrial cells. I spoke about those earlier, the cells that create ATP, or the currency of energy in our body, right? So I'm just feeling a little run down, tired and fatigued that sleep and coffee can't get. Infrared light can be one of those foundational tools. It's also a great tool to reduce inflammation. It's been shown to help support collagen production in the skin. So think like anti-aging, wrinkle reduction, things like that. And it's really about how do you take tools like infrared light and to me, not do this self-service biohacking approach, right? Where you're just like, I'm going to walk into a facility and choose a bunch of things off the menu. It's, you know, at Vive, it's really about how do we think about cellular medicine? How do we think about patients coming in with their health goals and then synthesizing a plan using these different technologies that you talked about, right? Do I pair infrared light with hyperbaric oxygen and then use a peptide, or do I use IV therapy with a laser? That's really kind of the core and essence is figuring out how do you actually stack these different therapies together to maximize the benefit.
So are there particular therapies for particular diseases that people walk in with?
Yeah, and it goes back to the foundations of cellular health. So let's go back to, let's say we're looking to help an individual optimize metabolic health and weight loss, right? We want to facilitate weight loss. And you know, sometimes you'll see those GLP-1 weight loss drugs get a bad rap. And I think it's because you're not really thinking about the foundation of how do we support somebody's metabolism and metabolic health. So a GLP-1 peptide may be a fantastic tool and the backbone of that because it allows your body to process blood sugar better. It communicates with fat cells and allows your body to kind of start processing the fat cells up through metabolic pathways. It kind of modulates and downregulates cravings. But we may then layer in some other support tools. We may use some IV nutrient therapies to help ensure that the body is getting the amino acids that it needs to maintain lean muscle mass that you hear everybody worried about when they get that Ozempic face, which is generally a result of not getting enough protein, right? So we're layering in things to support, ensure that you get enough amino acid foundations to maintain that muscle mass, or things like B complex vitamins to support your metabolism. And then there's another cool device you probably saw on the website, which was an emerald laser device by Arconia. And what that is doing is creating small little pores in the fat cell and allowing the fat cells, the content to get broken up, emulsified, if you will, and let your body's lymphatic system naturally clear that out to shrink the fat cell. So now you have a couple tools going on at the same time, right? You have a GLP-1 peptide that's optimizing metabolic cellular pathways, right? You're supporting the metabolism with some of the IV nutrient therapies, and then you're just straight shrinking the fat cells with lasers.
All right. So what about a particular disease like kidney failure or one of the stomach diseases, IBD or Crohn's? Are there treatments for those sort of lifetime ailments that people are getting?
Yeah, fantastic. So autoimmune conditions is another fascinating and fantastic, kind of potentially chronic lifetime, but we're really trying to see if we can reverse that or help people manage those conditions without being on some of the conventional medications. And so a lot of times for something like inflammatory bowel, Crohn's or ulcerative colitis, you're looking at what is aggravating and irritating the immune system to attack the intestinal cells and the GI tract and the gut. And that could be that there's a, what we call dysbiosis, or an imbalance of good and bad bacteria, or an overgrowth of yeast in the gut. So that's where you're kind of peeling back and looking at what are the root causes that are driving some of these chronic diseases. And once we address the root causes with things like more peptides, right? Great peptides to help support healing in the gut could be something called, oral VPC. You could consider using things like lorazepam to help heal leaky gut. At the same time, we might be using herbals and botanical supplements to help rebalance the good and bad bacteria in the intestinal tract. You know, if it's severe, we may consider using things like hyperbaric oxygen therapy to drive and force the healing of the intestinal cells and quiet that inflammation. But I think underneath that goes that going back to looking at the root cause and then addressing, you leveraging those tools to address the root cause to see if you can mitigate and help elicit that natural healing response in the body.
Are these procedures covered by normal insurances?
Unfortunately, when you're kind of really trying to talk about root cause, a lot of times they're not, unfortunately. And you're really trying to get insurance to kind of get caught up with how do you manage things from a preventative standpoint? How do you manage things to address the root cause without having to rely so many on these pharmaceutical medications? I really wish it were the case. And there's some areas where you start to see that kind of change, but there's slow to catch up with some of the literature on this. I think one area I'd love to see that get caught up is hyperbaric oxygen. There's only 14 FDA approved indications for hyperbaric oxygen, even though we know it has in the literature a wealth of healing benefits. Hopeful for the day that catches up.
And these machines look expensive. So what would some of these procedures cost then? They look really expensive.
Yes, there's definitely an investment in that technology, but it really comes to developing a treatment plan, right? I mean, you'll see, what I call these biohacking centers or kind of these self-service longevity clinics where you can go in and do hyperbaric oxygen for $125 for the hour, right? Or you do a red light session for $25, right? But again, it really goes back to less about just, hey, I'm going to do a transactional payment and jump in and try one of these devices and hope they work. It's more about building out a plan and ensuring that plan makes the most sense for what is happening in each individual's body, and it aligns best with their goals. So usually it's more about synthesizing a plan that, incorporates multiple different modalities over time, if that makes sense.
Yes. So how did you learn about all of these? Certainly not in medical school. They don't seem to be covered these. And talk to me about being an entrepreneur doctor. Doctors are not supposed to be good business people. My father was a pathologist. He was a very good business person, but a mediocre pathologist, perhaps. What are your thoughts?
I'd love to learn more about that story.
Willie, listen to this. I had a cyst on the side of my face right by my eye, and the doctor popped it out and put 2 stitches in. And we were going on vacation, so Dad said that he would just take the stitches out. He took the stitches out and tore the suture open, and I had to have 5 stitches to repair the 2 that my dad couldn't get out.
There's the difference of a pathologist and a plastic surgeon. There you go. I love that story.
His MBA when he was 65. Obviously, you did it much earlier than that. Talk to me about being a pro-business doctor. That's just, doctors are not good at business, Will.
Yeah, we're programmed to think differently. But I think from an early age, I always wanted to build things. I wanted to create things. And, one of the things that kind of drove me towards medical school, unless perhaps, becoming an accountant or becoming an econ major, was this fascination with the human body and optimizing health and human performance, which is what sent me to medical school. And then when I got to medical school, I very quickly realized this is about managing disease, right? The system is about managing disease. And I kind of had a bit of a moment of crisis of like, okay, what did I just commit myself to? And so I decided to stop and take some time off in the medical school and go get a business degree, because I figured I needed to learn some sort of language and have the ability to ultimately end up creating something that was going to be outside the conventional medical realm, which is what kind of led me early on to get that business degree. And then it really kind of became all about just kind of self-exploration to figure out, how am I going to do this, right? And it led me down the path of going into integrative medicine, which is the only place that I really felt at the time that was speaking about kind of prevention and wellness and tapping into the body's innate ability to heal itself with all sorts of different tools and therapies, not just what we learned in medical school. And that, so that ultimately kind of said, like, okay, I'm going to have to do this on my own, right? I tried spending a little bit of time in academia, wasn't cut out for the bureaucracy of that. So they kind of then went down this road of a couple different entrepreneurial ventures, right? And one of the things about being an entrepreneur is, like, you don't always get a home run out the park, right? I had a lot of what I'd say were kind of mediocre attempts and creating different startup ventures, but learned from every single one of those. Probably the most valuable thing I learned during that journey was marketing, right? How do you ethically market and sell? You said, like, hey, you kind of brought up, like, these things aren't covered by insurance. So why do I create a treatment plan that I feel like and I know is going to help an individual, but then how do I convince them to exchange, you know, make an exchange of value in dollars when it's not covered by insurance? So probably the biggest thing that I spent a lot of my time learning earlier on my career as a physician entrepreneur is kind of marketing. That was probably the best skill I picked up.
Interesting. And so what has been the marketing mix that works best for Vive? How do you thread that needle?
Yeah, so I think we really focus on trying to address those root causes up front, right? So what has been very powerful for both the business but our patients is kind of starting with a foundation of different diagnostics or testing that is matched to the symptoms they're experiencing and the things they're hoping to achieve, right? So I very much dislike where it's all cookie cutter approach. Sometimes you'll see that in functional medicine where you just kind of walk in and everyone gets the exact same workup, but kind of having a foundation of lab testing matched to patients' ailments or concerns or areas they just feel stuck with their health. And then fleshing that out to understand, okay, here's what I need to focus on. Here are the tools, back to our earlier conversation. You know, here are the tools that I think are best fit and positioned to help this individual with Crohn's, because it looks like their inflammation is really high and they got an overgrowth of yeast in their gut. And then we kind of start crafting those tools to help that individual heal. So it is very much a process of getting people bought into a series of labs, seeing what the labs match up to the story they have. And then we can then generate the plan and say, hey, here's what I'm thinking, you know, and then very clearly have a conversation around the investment to achieve that plan.
All right. Obviously, you're located in the rich parts of town, Ballantyne in Charlotte. Where are you located in Charlotte?
I'm actually located in South Charlotte. It's kind of in a bit of a transitional edge, right? You know, like any big city, like Atlanta that you live in, like Charlotte up here, you know, pockets of the city change pretty quickly, but we are in the South Charlotte part of town.
By the mall there? Which mall is
that? Yeah, South Park area. Yeah, you got okay. It.
Yes. Very nice part of town. I had two kids who lived in Waxhaw, so right around the corner from you.
Yeah, not too far down there. Yeah, I mean, no, we love the location that we're in, kind of super convenient around town. We have a lot of patients that also fly in and out, so it's not too far from the airport. And it's in a really cool building where when you walk in, the whole inside of the building is this atrium, right? So there's just trees and shrubbery and fountains. So it kind of supports that healing environment. So I kind of really love the building that we found in Charlotte.
And what are your plans for the future? Obviously people are flying in, you need to grow to other cities. Is that the plan or what do you have in mind?
Yeah. interesting side story that we didn't talk about. So a few years ago, I was approached by some investors and, been approached by a couple of different PE firms along the way to perhaps do just that, grow Vive. But I made an intentional decision about 3 years ago where I really wanted Vive to be its own organism, you know, it's kind of unicorn where we really kind of put a stake in the ground where we say, hey, we are one of the nation's best wellness centers, right? And I want people to be able to come and experience that in person, and really be able to control that feeling when you walk in. And so I decided, you know what, I'm just going to leave Vive as is, and I'm going to take everything that I learned as that physician entrepreneur to run a very successful, efficient operation. And I'm going to go teach other clinicians how to do this. I'm going to help them and give them the tools to do the same thing, to be able to run the back end of their offices, to generate revenue tracking software, to generate inventory tracking software, to leverage better contracts with vendors, and created a company called Infusive 3 years ago, co-founded it with my business partner, Darren Frank. And we're now in over 300 different clinics across the country, helping other clinics run the back end of their offices, similar to the way we do at Vive. So that was my conscious decision 3 years ago, was to actually go less down the route of, you know, creating a bunch of eyes throughout the country. I feel like we do very well at what we do. And I think it speaks that we have patients flying in from all over the country and the world. We have patients that come in from Costa Rica and the Dominican Republic. So yeah, that was kind of that side journey and side route to create the company Infusive.
Very interesting. And are you the main doctor at Vive? Is that where you practice now? 100% of the time?
I practice there 2.5 days a week, and then I spend 2.5 days a week with the Infusive team. I have a fantastic team of nurses. So we have a team of three, getting ready to hire a fourth nurse, who are really great extenders, you know, especially when you're coming in to do these different modalities. We have another three, what I call wellness guides, that help patients when they're doing things like the hyperbaric oxygen and the laser therapies. And then I have another nurse practitioner looking for another one. So if there happens to be any listeners out there that are looking for a new home and a really cool place to work, we are growing and expanding the team. But a lot of the advanced treatment plans will be developed by myself and overseen and helped run by members of my team.
Excellent. I looked at your team. You have a lot of good looking women on your team. I noticed that, William.
We've tried very hard to get guys to join the team. I mean, it has been a challenge to find dudes. Any time we open up the application pool, I tell my director of operations, can you please find me a guy to join the team? But they're fantastic. I love the team that I work with, and they're a big reason for the success of Vive Wellness.
Well, it's an amazing story. It's an amazing story. It seems like that eventually this will just take over all of medicine.
You know, one of my mentors, Dr. Andrew Wild, always said, you know, I really wish there wasn't such a thing as integrative medicine, or to paraphrase his words. He thinks this is the way medicine should be practiced, and it shouldn't be a specialty. You know, it's just the way it should be practiced. And I think we're catching up and we're getting there. I think it's being driven a lot more by the individuals and the health consumers that they see and want a different way.
Very, very clearly true. How do we find out more? Schedule an appointment? Become part of the team, learn more.
Yeah, best place is just vibewellness.com/get/started. Vibewellness.com/get-started. There's just a little intake form where it gives you an opportunity to tell me a little bit more about you and some of the health goals you're getting. From there, we can jump on a discovery call with one of my wellness specialists, and they'll learn a little bit more about those health and wellness goals and see if we might be a good fit, and can talk about next steps from there.
Fantastic. Well, congratulations on a really cool business, and we'd love to have you back to watch it grow. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back.
Well, that's a wonderful question, actually, Jim.
Oh my gosh, I love the opportunity to do this. Thank you, Jim.
Wow, that's a great one. You know, that is a phenomenal question.
That's a great question, and I don't have a great answer.
That's a great question.
Oh, that is such a loaded question, and that's actually a really good question.
School for Startups Radio.
We are back, and again, thank you so much for being with us. Very excited to introduce my next guest. Please welcome Patricia Stepler. She is the founder of Creating Top Producers, which is her coaching business. She helps entrepreneurs and business leaders master their mindset, boost productivity, and gain time and money freedom. I love it. Patricia, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Jim. Thanks for inviting me.
So one of the things I saw here is that your son manifested a full college scholarship. Tell us that story.
Yes. Yeah, so that was very exciting. He was 12 and my oldest daughter was in college and my next daughter was about to go to college. And I guess he must have heard a discussion at the dinner table about the expense. And so he told me that I didn't need to worry about saving money for him to go to college, that he was going to get a college scholarship. And I asked him how he was going to do that. And he was going to be a collegiate athlete. And I'm thinking, okay, you're 12 and that's 6 years away. I don't know that I believe that, but I'm not going to tell you, you can't do it. So he would just tell me this over and over again. And then he chose baseball. And I don't know if your audience or if you know that there aren't really full scholarships in baseball. If you're that good, you generally go pro. And so when he decided to go baseball, you know, I kept hearing these college coaches saying, if you think your son's going to get a full scholarship, forget it. And yet I allowed him to believe it. I never told him what we were being told, but in the back of my mind, I think he knew because he researched everything. So when he had a school that was interested in him, we went and visited the school and they told us, you know, probably a third to half would be all we could expect. And yet when his scholarship letter came, the day I pulled it out of the mailbox, he said, Mom, wouldn't it be funny if this is a full scholarship? To which I quickly reminded him as to what the admissions director said. And he opened it and we looked at each other. We just screamed and hugged because he did get a full college scholarship. Now, it wasn't a sports scholarship. It was an academic. And at that moment, I knew he'd caused that. I didn't know how he caused it. So I had to figure it out. And that led me on my journey to figure out what he had done to get that college scholarship.
Really? You hadn't heard of manifesting or anything?
I had never heard of that. No, I'd never. I'd heard of the name Bob Proctor because that's who I eventually studied with. And yet I'd never come across him other than having heard his name and knowing he was in the personal development field. And I knew enough about personal development because I really did personal development my entire life, but it was more conventional, I'll say, and not the manifesting and the, you know, the visualization of the dream and things. It did not have that law of attraction to it. It was just very, you know, setting a goal, very business oriented type.
All right. Fascinating. And so what did you learn on your discovery path?
Well, Jim, I learned that there are certain processes, and if you follow them, then you can create the reality you want. And then I spent, after my son had done this, you know, manifested the scholarship, I spent the next probably 4 or 5 years explaining to him what he had done because he didn't know. He just naturally fell into, okay, I've set this goal. I have to figure it out. And I think if more people understand that you've got to make a decision. First, he made the decision. Then he figured, okay, I better map out a plan. And even though his plan did not work the way he intended it to work, he didn't realize that there was a better plan out there that he wasn't aware of at the time. So I think it's just going after that goal and keeping so focused on it, which he absolutely kept focused on.
All right. So tell us about manifesting then, because a lot of people find that hard to believe.
I would have been one of them before this all happened. I would have been right there with those people saying that doesn't work. Then I could look back at times where I had done the same thing. So when you want to manifest something, it's a matter of keeping focused. You have to see and visualize what it is that you want and keep so directly focused on that goal that you don't waver from it. And even when you get discouraged, you keep coming back to the goal. You find a way to pick yourself up and move forward. And it's the visualization, but it's also who do you become? Because in order to accomplish a goal that's a lot bigger than us, we have to become somebody different. A lot of times we don't realize that that's what's really important, is who are we becoming? You know, it's great to get that goal, but the goal itself is not the major thing. It's who do you become in the process?
Okay. I don't know what that means. Who do I become? So am I broken and therefore where I can't manifest and then I become better? Is that what you mean, Patricia?
No, Jim, what I'm talking about is, you know, everything, if you look around at everything that you have right now, that's because of your self-image, of who you think you are. When you have a goal that seems just so much beyond where you are, you have to change something about yourself. You have to change your self-image. You have to change who you are. You have to become that person. Let's say you want to be a CEO of a company, and right now you are maybe just starting working with that company. Well, you have to start seeing yourself as being that person, which might mean that you have to carry yourself differently. You may have to interact with people differently. You may have to work a little harder and see yourself, you know, doing some of those jobs that maybe a CEO would do, even at the job that you're at. So it's that constant, you know, seeing of where you want to be, even though in your reality, it's not there yet. So you have to become that person that you want to be in that reality before you actually reach it.
Okay. And how do I know how to do that?
That's the tricky part, isn't it? So it sounds much easier than it is to do, but it's constant focus. So for instance, just going back to what my son did with the scholarship, if he told me one time that he was getting the scholarship, he told me 1,000 times. And what he told me later on was, you know, Mom, when I'd go to practice, whether it was football, basketball, or baseball, because those are the sports he played, he said, every practice I went to, every game I went to, my intention was going for a scholarship. It was always on his radar that he was going after a scholarship. That's where we have to be so focused on where the goal is. And that's difficult because life gets in the way. Things happen. We get distracted. And that's what makes it more difficult to manifest and where people don't see that it works because we don't have that singular focus.
Have you had something work in your life? Have you also been able to do this?
I absolutely have, yes. So there's a couple instances. Before I understood this, I was selling cosmetics. And so there was a contest to win a diamond ring. And actually, there were 3 diamond rings. And I became really focused on, I wanted to win one of the rings. And so I saw the rings. I made a mental picture of them in my mind. And every day I would see those rings one at a time on my finger. And what was the most amazing thing was I was having cosmetic parties. And at the time, I didn't sell a lot of the more skincare items that brought in the higher revenue. And all of a sudden, it was like everybody was buying. They were buying more. They were spending more money. My current clients were buying extra money. And the next thing I know, I won the contest. Looking back, I could see that that's exactly what I did. I followed the kind of laws of the universe where you stay really focused on the goal and you see yourself and you transform yourself into the person you need to become. The other example, after I understood this at a basic level, this is when I started studying with Bob, I wanted to get out of my current job, which was teaching children, and move into a corporate training position. And what I did was, as I was going into school every single day, instead of going in to teach children, I envisioned myself going into conference rooms, to hotel ballrooms, teaching adults, doing trainings. And it was all in my mind. But every day I did that. And within months, I was offered a position to do exactly what I wanted. with a company I wanted to work with. So those are just small examples of times in my life where it really worked.
All right. And what do you say to a skeptic, or what would you say to yourself 20 years ago?
Well, as I said, I would not believe that any of this worked. And I would have thought it was pretty much, you know, woo-woo, and, it, you know, that wasn't how it happened. You had to follow the, you know, the more structured goal setting that I'd been trained to do through personal development. So I wouldn't have believed it 20 years ago. When you see it happen in your family and you really study it and you understand what happens, and then you see different times, very simple examples. For instance, you want a new car, and maybe you don't know how to get that new car, but you've decided on the make and the model, and all of a sudden you see them all over the place, and you, because you're focused on it, and before you know it, you've figured out a way to get that vehicle or whatever it is. It could be a house. It could be anything that you're going after, and when you focus on it, your mind will actually help you to figure out how to get that item that you want.
Okay. I certainly agree with you. When you think about a car, you start seeing it everywhere. I wish I had the power to manifest. Maybe I need to manifest the power to manifest. All right. So when you're working with business clients and working on things like mindset, do you focus entirely on the law of attraction, or are there other mindset pieces we need to think about?
I use other mindset pieces also.
Like?
Well, the goal setting, figuring out the clarity of what it is you want. I also help people to align themselves with the actions, because you can do all the thinking in the world and that's not going to get you to your goal. You have to find the actions that you need. And then I also work with them, if it's a bigger company, with the personnel that they have, because one person in your company can be holding you back. And sometimes we get emotionally attached to people because we know their family, we know their situation, and yet sometimes they're not the right person in that position. Could be that they're just in the wrong place in your company. But sometimes we have to look at who's working. So I do various different things, but a lot of it does come down to aligning with what it is that they really want. And a lot of times we play it small and we limit our beliefs because of all the baggage that we have in our subconscious mind. So we have to overcome those limited beliefs that we have in order to accomplish those bigger goals.
And how do we address some of the skills that you talk about through this, like boosting your productivity and gaining more time and money freedom and stuff? How do I boost my productivity?
Through organization. A lot of times, and I resisted this myself when I was first told to block schedule my time. I resisted because I wanted to make things convenient for others. And so I would have a call here and then I'd be doing a little other work here and then another call. And it doesn't make sense. But when you can start to block your time so that you're concentrating, because every time you get distracted, they say it takes you 20 minutes to get back to where you were. So how can you eliminate those distractions? Well, if you block yourself and you don't allow your phone pinging, you know, or that something's flashing on your computer to distract you, then you can accomplish more. So it's just a matter of finding those organizational skills that will help you to become more efficient. And therefore, then you become more productive. Can you have your day laid out before you get to the office, figured out the night before, so that when you go in first thing in the morning, you know exactly what you have to do? Those are just small things that can really make a difference in how productive you are.
Yes, I love those. I love the blocking of time, the colors on the calendar thing. That I always feel well planned when I see all the colors that are lined up and stuff. So yeah. That is a good tool. What else can we do to boost our productivity other than just the color coding and time management? Are there things that we can eliminate from our schedule that we're wasting time on?
Yes, Jim, I was just going to say that sometimes we have to realize that maybe we're not the best person to do a job. And I think that's where a lot of people, when they start out as an entrepreneur, get really confused because they think they have to do it all. Well, there are some things that maybe you're not good at or you really don't have a whole lot of interest in. And then they become like a weight around you. And when you know you have to do it, you just resist it and you procrastinate and you just go on and on about not wanting to do it instead of just getting the job done. So sometimes we need to eliminate things. Maybe they're really not important or somebody else can do it quicker and better than you can do it.
Yep. One of my biggest things that I regret not doing earlier was hiring a personal virtual assistant. Together we've gotten years worth of work done in just weeks. So,
right.
I have huge success with that. Do you have a virtual person or an assistant?
Yes, I do have, I have a team that works with me to alleviate some of those jobs that either I can't get to or I'm not good at.
All right. Where is your person?
My person is actually in the Philippines, my team.
Wouldn't it be weird if we had the same person?
Well, I don't think so because I know she works part-time for me and she works part-time for a friend of mine.
And me. Yeah. All right. I agree. The Philippines is the place. How did you get in contact with this person originally?
It was through a coach I was working with.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What kind of services do they provide for you? What do you ask them to do?
Right now, she helps handle my social media and incoming messages to alleviate some of that work from me.
All right.
And they also help me with my website and systems that I have that maybe I'm confused about. They help work those out too.
Okay. Who was the person you said you learned from? Bob Proctor?
Yes.
Can you tell us about him? I've heard of him, but never really dived into his bio.
Okay.
His
knowledge. He was amazing. He died just a few years ago and he understood the human mind and understood human potentials. That was his mastery. And he used the law of attraction, but he also utilize that people have to become that person. So he was really looking to unlock people's potential because he realized that most of us maybe think that once we graduate from high school or college, that we're done. We're done learning. And it's just a matter of letting, whatever happens in the world happen to us. And he helped people to realize they had so much more inside of them that's untapped. And sometimes you have to figure out what some of your skills are. I've discovered things about myself, Jim, that I did not even think I could do. And so we can all do so much more than we realize. So that was his forte, was really helping people to unlock. And businesses, too. He worked with a lot of businesses to help them become more successful and get the results they want by making a few behavioral changes. All of us are locked into certain behaviors. In fact, our day is almost 95% automatic, and we don't really think about what we're doing. We just go through the actions. When you can stop and really question maybe why you're doing something in the way that you're doing it, then you might find a better way. So it's all about finding that potential in people and getting them to really believe in themselves.
Tell me about your coaching business. What have been some of the things that you would share with other coaches that have been really successful to building your business?
Well, I think of my first clients and they trusted me, which I was so grateful. And when I started working with them, they wanted to move their business, which was a construction business. Only they were mostly doing like handyman jobs at the time. and they really wanted to get into building luxury homes. And so what I would tell other coaches would be, how can you get a person from where they are to where they really want to be? We have to build the dream with them. They have to be able to see it. They have to visualize it and go after what it is that they want. And then you really have to get their trust that what you're telling them to do or what you're helping them to do is right for them. Now, did everything work? No. Some things we thought would pan out did not, but they just kept going. So I think a really good client is one where you set the expectations for what you're going to help them to do, and they come with you and they do the work. And you can see a client that's really excited.
Yes, that sticks out. Well, Patricia, amazing stuff. Okay, so one last question. You probably already answered this, but for a non-believer or a believer who wants to believe, but is still skeptical, what should mm-hmm. we do in the next week as a first step?
You mean skeptical as far as the law of attraction?
Yes. Yes.
I would say look at times in your life where you really thought about something and then you achieved it. And it can be very small things, or it could, you know, like my winning the first place for the diamond ring or getting a different position at a job. And it can be very, you know, different things that you may have had happen in your life, or look at your children, or look at your significant other, and things that they really wanted. And then they came into fruition, and then decide, what did I do differently than what I'm doing right now? And I think a lot of times, if you really look back, you'll see, I focused on it. I thought about it. I pictured myself doing it. And that's the way it works. Like I said, I wouldn't have believed it before my son got that scholarship either. But now I'm a believer.
Very interesting. Patricia, thank you so much for being with us and sharing your life and story. What school did your son get into?
He went to Piedmont College in Georgia.
Oh, yeah, of course. I'm in Georgia, so I...
Oh, okay.
Yes. Fantastic. And has he graduated already?
He graduated, and then he went on to Georgia State for a master's degree. And then he used this whole idea, got a job right out of school. You know, within a week, he was hired, and now he's in Japan. He believed he could go to Japan. Now he's working in there, over there.
Really? I used to be a professor at Georgia State, and I used to live in Japan.
Oh, really?
And work for the Japanese government and Coca-Cola in Japan.
So okay.
I have a real problem with Japan. I did too much of it. Now I don't really want to go back there.
Oh, well, we're going over there to visit him in December.
Oh, so. You will love it. You will love it.
Yeah.
It is amazing. What city does he live in?
Well, he's in Okinawa. He works for a marine base in Okinawa, so he's a government contractor.
Excellent. Have a great trip. Thanks for being
with us.
Did you give out your URL?
I did not. No, it's creatingtopproducers.com/home, and you will find ways to get a hold of me, or you can contact me through Patricia@creatingtopproducers.com.
Great. Thank you so much, and we'd love to have you back.
Thank you. I've enjoyed this, Jim.
We are out of time, but back tomorrow. Be safe, take care, and go make $1 million. Bye now.